Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 13. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This is the text. So Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover feast, not the week of Holy Week, but an earlier one in his ministry. And there are some in the crowd who wanted to know his opinion on the news of the day. Because Pilate took opportunity to get rid of people that were apparently on his enemies list. Some Galileans who were there at Jerusalem offering sacrifices. And we know it was for the Passover because the only time that non-priests, the laity, could be involved in the butchering process, the slaughtering of the animals, was Passover week, because you had so many of them there up on the Temple Mount that you could come and do that for the lamb that was going to be eaten at your Passover meal. And so these Galileans were there, and Pilate sent Roman soldiers to the temple and mixed their blood with the blood of the sheep. And the Judeans from Jerusalem, at least, were there in the area. They wanted to know what Jesus thought of this. Now, they probably thought that the Galileans from northern Israel, well, maybe, what did they do to deserve this? And they probably thought, you know, God was punishing them justly. And you have to know, the Jews from southern Israel, especially in the immediate region of, or vicinity of Jerusalem, really thought of the Galileans as second-class citizens. I mean, they were the downstaters to Jerusalem, Chicago, if you want an analogy that we can kind of work with and makes a lot of sense to people from Illinois. Or possibly there were some in the crowd who wanted to, you know, have Jesus elicit a strong rebuke against Pilate in the Roman occupation of Israel, because that was the thought of the crowds, that, hey, if he's the Messiah, well, then he's going to, you know, step up and speak out about Israel being occupied by, you know, someone who is not of the house of David being the ruler. They thought that the Messiah's job was to bring back the prosperity of David and Solomon, restore Israel to its former glory. But Jesus gives them a response they were not expecting. He doesn't speak of Pilate's sin, basically murdering these guys. He doesn't speak of the sin of the Galileans. Or I should say, he doesn't just speak of the Galileans who were killed. He speaks of the sin of all the Galileans. And all of those righteous people in Jerusalem. You know, what about the 18 people at Siloam who were killed when the tower fell down? What about them? Were they also great and terrible sinners? No more than you are. The people who were cut down by the Romans, Jesus basically says they were deserving of death. But no more than any of you, he says. They were not worse sinners than others. They were not worse than you. But they were deserving of death, because they are sinners and they are children of Adam. So we turn to the news of our day, and we see suffering and horror and death. We see tragedies happening. We see it all across the world. We see it in Quincy, we see it in our own families. The unbelievers, the worshipers of false gods who die in places like Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, are they more under God's wrath and judgment than the unbelievers of Quincy? No. And the faithful Christians throughout the Middle East and Africa who have been persecuted and oppressed and driven from their homes, whose churches and homes have been destroyed, who have been tortured, killed, have they done something that puts them out of God's favor? I mean, is it just that, you know, we Christians here in Quincy are more, you know, favorably disposed towards God? Does he like us better so we don't have to endure those things? No. What they deserve and what we deserve is the same. It's really the same as what the unbelievers and worshipers of false gods deserve. All sinners, all children of Adam deserve death and hell. When we view suffering, tragedy, hardship in this life as random punishments of God, we're viewing reality completely backwards. God is the one who rescues us from harm, danger, sin, and every evil. Luther had such a wonderful understanding of this. He once said in a sermon, I referenced this a couple weeks ago in Bible class, and I went and I found the quote. Luther said, "Even though God does not want to assault and torment us, the devil does, and he cannot abide the word of God. He is by nature so malicious and venomous that he cannot endure anything which is good. It irks him that an apple should be growing on a tree. It pains and vexes him that you have a sound finger. And if he were able, he would tear everything apart and put it out of joint. Therefore, he too does not rest. And if our dear God were not guarding us through his angels, and we were able to see the devil's cunning, conspiring, and lying, we should die at the sight of it alone. So many are the cannon and guns he has ranged against us. But God prevents them from striking us." Although hardship and tragedy do occur, we must remember that it is only through God's patience and long-suffering that we have been allowed to live this long. Only because our Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as Scripture says again and again, that we are able to face the difficulties, the tragedies and horrors of this life, and face them with the sure hope and confidence in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Now, the critics of Christ and his church love to call into question how a loving God could allow such evil in the world, how bad things could happen to good people. Even in Ezekiel's day, we heard in our Old Testament reading, the Israelites said, "God is not just." Well, the answer to this problem of suffering, as it's often called in philosophical circles, the answer is pretty simple. I mean, really, it should not surprise us that the sons of Adam, who have rejected the love of God, have embraced this evil world, do the devil's bidding, and do harm to their neighbor. It should not surprise us when evil people do evil things because they have rejected God's love. It also should not surprise us that the children of Adam grow old and die. And unfortunately, some die even before they grow old. But the reality is, God told Adam, "If you eat of this tree, you will surely die." Why is there evil and suffering in this life? It's not God's fault. When we see outrageous suffering, when we see loved ones, faithful Christian friends, people we love suffer and die, especially when they die before what we perceive to be their time. We cry out, this is not how it should be. This does not seem right. And God agrees with you. This is not how it should be. This should not seem right. The world in which we live, your understanding of the situation is absolutely correct. Death should never seem right. When God created this world, the world as we see it right now, this was not the plan. Suffering should never seem right. Death, again, should never seem right in any circumstance. Death is never your friend. Death is the wages of sin. All life is precious, but we are Adam's children. And therefore, because he ate of that tree, we will surely die. God agrees with our assessment of the situation. This is not how it should be. Which is why our Father in heaven provided the answer for our distress. He sent his Son to do what Adam could not or would not do. That's the promise of the new covenant, which Christ made, sealed it with his own blood, became that final lamb of sacrifice. And he has placed himself between us and the torments that Satan desires for us. He is our fortress, our strength, and our shield. Like those Galileans killed by Pilate, or the men who died when the tower fell at Siloam, or those millions of Christians who have lost their life in the Middle East and North Africa over the past centuries. And yes, it is in the millions. Because of our sin, if God were only a God of justice, well, he would have struck us all down and condemned us to an eternity in the pit of hell, because we are steeped in sin at our birth, and that's what we deserve. Instead, God has shown that he is not simply a God of justice, but he is most rightly defined as a God of mercy and grace. Those are his dominant attributes. And he has most clearly shown this by sending his Son to stand between us and the torments and death that we deserve. Jesus experienced the death, the suffering, the forsakenness that we should experience for all eternity. But he chose to stand in our place. As we Lutherans love to sing, a mighty fortress is our God. We just sang that 2 weeks ago. We also just sang Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. He continues to protect us and rescue us. We do not know the day or the hour that our Lord will demand our life from us. We only know that when that time comes for God to call us out of this life, we will feel not the wrath and judgment upon our sin. Although that is what death is, I mean, the wages of sin. But we will experience the fullness of the promises made in Christ. So as Paul says, whether we live or whether we die, we do so to the Lord. And we are forever, here and for all eternity, under his protection. A mighty fortress is our God. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.